Good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're toiling with great joy to Secret Talks number 5, Work of Groups by E.J. Gold, and we're glad that you're able to join us at this time. It's possible you're hearing us live, which is right now in the year of 2017 in the fall, but you might also be listening to us 5 years from now, Pat.
5.
Maybe 7.
Okay.
And then just suddenly, accidentally, stumble on this particular recording, and they're going to be listening to Pat, Ivan, and David. And that, and we have an extensive technical crew here with, I don't know, 30, 40 years experience. And we're ready to get going. So where we left off last week was a particular chapter, and we're going to start on the next one.
Where we left off last week left us all,
agog.
But you can watch the archived version for that if you weren't with us in person.
And Pat is going to read us the notes that were culled from the class. Okay.
Wednesday, October 4th, 2017, Work of Groups, meeting number 29. 1. Operations of a group. 1. A group can act as a mirror, assisting one's self-observation, especially for the muzzling exercise, which has the fundamental requirement to self-observe. 2. When you go to an invitational dinner, you leave the machine at the door. Because of the presence of your colleagues, you go to live a high life together. The premise is Elijah is always a guest at the table. It became the taking of the sacrament. I think I'd like to change that word to it becomes the taking of the sacrament. Put it in present time. Wow. 3. A group coming together and the energy of a group invocation was described as, in this case, an Easter observance. The group worked on chosen tasks, voluntarily holding the exercise that this was a lifetime. After hours of this preparation, this meditation, and working to invoke presence, we came together to sit at dinner. You felt a harmony, group awareness, which probably contributed to the continued transubstantiation of the food. It was like the Last Supper, bringing a lifetime to a close, preparing for the end of it together. I just have to say, Marvette, that your scribing quality always draws more out of the event for me than what I took in at the time. It's really amazing. I mean, because I was here last week, not the week before. The week before I was not here, and I got a lot from your notes. But last week I actually sat here, and I heard what people said, and this brings even more to what was said.
Seems like. Thank you. Seems like that's typical of scripture, like the story of the thing is better than the story itself, than what actually happened.
And there are that very phenomena, Ivan and Pat. We will bounce on that in a couple of pages here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very interesting that you brought that up, Pat.
Oh.
On my way in, I tripped over a bunch of machines that had been left at the door.
Good one.
Did that include any of us?
Well,
a couple.
A couple.
Who's talking?
Really? So, we had a few weeks on 54, chapter 54, which was very long, and it was a little bit of a menu of many different exercises, a few of which we touched on. Okay, and it's a reference chapter, and so anybody that has the book should go back, look at that particular chapter, and you have years of work if you're looking for some direction. We're going to go ahead into chapter 55 and 56 and so on and so forth. And they're very short, and I think it's worth it to read. So we'll just go ahead and read that together. And Pat, you want to get us started on page 139?
Yes, this is chapter 55, Country Doctor. We may understand a few ideas, but cannot give to others before we know how to work and are able to work. She talked ingeniously and openly about his gruff manner, how a good country doctor handles patients by constantly complaining about being busy, playing the good-natured but overworked professional, ensuring that his patients value his time and remedies.
Go ahead.
Work ideas are mathematically connected, a sum, a totality. They must be taken as a whole. Ideas are not raw data, but synthesis, depending on the weight of previous data. Shall I read that again?
Yeah.
Work ideas are mathematically connected, a sum, a totality. They must be taken as a whole. Ideas are not raw data, but synthesis, depending on the weight of previous data, and that is weight as in heaviness, not weight as in weighting, depending on the weight of previous data. Knowing how to work must be practical. Real ideas must be present in all our transmissions, but presented in fragmentary form to make possible learning how to learn, the method for penetration of the unknown from a fragmentary known part of a real idea. We must penetrate authentic ideas, not imaginary ones.
So in listening to Pat, a couple of things. One is I had read this chapter a couple of times this week,
mm-hmm.
and I read it just before I came out here a couple hours ago. And yet, in listening to her, I got more out of it.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of the actual title of the Tibetan Book of the Dead,
yes.
which is Liberation Through Hearing in the Bardos.
Yes.
So I'm getting, first of all, because I had read it, I had opened a channel,
mm-hmm.
and now when I'm the vibratory listening from Pat, I got more, particularly that last sentence in the previous page, 139,
mm-hmm.
the third paragraph. about the synthesis of personal data. And the more work we do, the more is given.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a part of this that has so many clues. I mean, I would like to step up to a blackboard. I hope most of you know what I mean when I use that term. Anyway, a chart. And assign values to some of the words in the sentence because it has mathematical significance in the fact that you can do operations. You can perform formulae on yourself. And that's how it gets done, is by ideas, full content of ideas, the weight of them being measured inside. Does this make sense?
Let's test what Pat is telling us.
Sure.
Okay. Dan, is there anybody online tonight, or is it? Okay. And who's online? Can you just say it on the phone? Do you have your phone there? Do you have a phone?
Yeah, 7 people online so far. Looks like Brisa, Silverdale, Muscle Spark, Maya Satan, Pianjo, Dot Cot, and me.
That makes eight.
The number that's showing at the top is 7, so.
Yes.
Well, we'll go with whatever. I mean, numbers are just a loose thing, you know, 1 plus 1, what number do you have in mind?
I beg your pardon. I find a significance to the numbers. So you said there were 7, and we have 6 in this room at the present time, visible in the human form. So we have 13 potentially different entities
Good.
Present.
Which means we have 13 possibilities to test your idea. So let's read that very first paragraph again. We may understand a few ideas, but cannot give to others before we know how to work and are able to work. So, like, does that mean we're helpless here? Can we do anything? And then the first part of the last paragraph, okay, says,
yeah.
Knowing how to work must be practical. So I'd like all 13, except for myself, anybody else, to, or so, give or take.
Yeah.
So what is a practical expression of the knowledge that you have today that you can express to a newbie? Somebody that has shown up that wants to learn to work. They're just kind of interested. They found you maybe at your art shop. And you could tell that they were interested in a little more. Can you come up with one practical idea that you would give that individual?
Hey, I'd like to go first just because I won't have to think of something else. What about EJ's statement that within the human biological machine is a finer, a more refined electrical field known as the essential self? Now, that's an idea that I think is practical and we could work toward investigating individually, you know, if I were sharing this with another person.
So let's imagine
Silverdale.
Walking up to an individual, let's just say, in a strange place like Starbucks, and he happens to be in a conversation, and he says those words. And don't forget, I started by saying how much I learned from listening to Pat, right?
Yes.
So here's Silverdale in this public space called Starbucks, and he says that. Can you envision that?
Yes.
And if he is emanating the concept, what happens? they get it?
Well, the first thing that happens is somebody's attention is drawn to the fact that he's speaking to them about
at
it
all.
At all.
Yeah.
And the second thing that happens is if they are able to hear and they have a place where that resonates, they might actually be able to respond, but not necessarily. That's not necessarily
correct.
The test.
That's right.
But what I was going to use as my example would not be something that EJ has specifically said, but it is from the notes of last week's meeting, so I know it was referenced in the chapter, which was...
You're talking to a newbie,
yeah.
Someone who doesn't have 10 years experience at this school or has
That's
read
right.
three or four of EJ's volumes, I mean, HBM,
yeah.
Life in the Labyrinth,
yeah.
American Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
They have none of that,
yeah.
But there's a little spark that makes you think of them.
Yeah. It says,
ready?
You feel a harmony, a group awareness, which contributes to the continued transubstantiation of the food. And if I was in a Starbucks, I would not be using the word transubstantiation, but I might say something like, you know, sometimes when I see all of us standing around together and having our coffee at the same time, I kind of wonder about the group quality that just happens to occur sometimes when we're all participating in the same thing.
What an opening. Beautiful opening. Beautiful. Anybody else?
David, I don't know what page we're on, number one.
Okay, we're on 139, chapter 55.
Okay.
And the exercise right now is, can you say practical piece of knowledge, because that's what EJ's talking about in this little baby chapter here. It has to be practical. So you walk up to somebody. Suadale gave us an example. Pat's done it. What would you say to a newbie that you would like to express whereby you're expressing some of the data from this work that we've been presented with?
Well, I would actually prefer to ask them a question. Would that count?
Yes. Yeah.
That's okay.
I would ask them, is there any part of you, inside of you, that is permanent? And if not,
is there anything inside of you that's permanent?
Any part of you that's inside you.
Any part of you that's inside you that is permanent?
I mean, is there
very
any part of you that is
close to Silverdale?
I think that's a good question.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
Same thing
yeah.
Silverdale was talking about. It's just a little different
yeah.
way to go there.
Okay.
I might
go
be
ahead,
arrested, but you would only be molested.
Might be arrested.
So, Brisa says, 5 minutes practice of something they want to start doing. So, the 5 minutes a day of some practice.
A discipline.
Yeah.
You bring discipline into your life on anything that you like. Very.
I like this recommendation that EJ made. I believe it was just in the prior chapter, saying that, you know, when you're meeting somebody in a cafe or you're meeting somebody for the first time who shows some interest in a study group or something, say to them, well, do you feel that you have control over your attention? Would you be able to observe yourself for half a day at a time for an hour? You think you could observe yourself for 30 minutes without, distraction, without going off? So let's try this. Why don't you, let's meet again tomorrow or a week from now, and after you've tried this exercise. Okay, well, you know, I can think of probably when I first came to a study group, if I were asked that straight out, I would have said, oh, sure, I've done some meditation, and I've done this, and I've done that. I'm sure I have control over my attention, and I could observe myself without fail for how long? Oh, for a day? Well, how about for 2 hours? Oh, I'm sure I could do it for like 6 hours or 4 hours at least, or at least through a whole lunch, you know, that I might eat at a cafe. Anyway, and you tell them, let's talk about this
something
next
like
week.
And then invite something.
Great idea, Ivan.
Great idea. Go ahead.
I would probably just, it's, it would probably depend on the person, I think, but I would probably just tell them about the practice of pausing between activities or interrupting an activity so that it isn't, doesn't become a driving force, that we're not mechanically driven all day long, and just a little, a few seconds at a time of stopping and observing and then going back to whatever it is. That's it. That was one of the first things I was introduced to.
Let me ask you something, Dan. You've been working, the job is over for the fall now, but you were working with other workers, right? Crew, you had a crew that you were working with.
Yes.
And did you find yourself sharing bits and pieces of the work with them?
Not very much, but it wasn't, it would have been mostly in terms of if somebody was angry about something, for instance, I would have tried to interrupt the flow of that anger and just put a little bit of calmness in there and then let it go.
Okay.
Something like that.
Pretty good. That's very good.
So
that's,
you would have
demonstrated the work. That's
rather
exactly,
than talk about it.
You would have demonstrated. Very nice. A different approach to it. Who else is online there that hasn't spoken yet?
Let's see. Muscle Spark and Maya Satan.
Muscle Spark, other than having a name that's always hard to pronounce, is good in itself, actually. Does he ever play music?
I know, I've known it to happen on an occasion or two.
By accident,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I just wondered if he has any practical, what would he say to somebody? That, doesn't he give, come on.
Yes.
Write something down, buddy.
Come on. Step into the
fire.
Yes. You know, something about this type of sharing in a group,
yeah,
is the part that really, you know, we're putting sticks on the fire. You know, we all take a little twig from the forest and we bring it in when we come to the circle and we're putting it on the fire together, and that's growing the fire for all of us. And there's
nice.
No substitute.
Beautiful.
Put your stick on the fire, and it provides warmth for all of us.
Very nice.
Okay.
He's thinking.
Thank you.
Is that it?
The sound of thinking is
thank you.
The it's a funny thing because, like, we're physically here, you know, and in a certain way we can't get away with it, you know, we can't not participate. And we also, part of the work of the more experienced group members, which I'm not sure if I want to use that term, but the group members that are here, is to create a safe space for people to share. This is a safe space. And you get used to sharing in a safe space, and it helps you do it in other spaces as well. So if you, there's, you know, is there, you know, right and wrong and all those other words like that? it's effort or no effort. And I know that everybody's considering it right now. Everybody that's online is considering it. They've heard it. They just don't know what to say, or there's a standard to say. There isn't any standard. The people that have spoken up are the talkers, too. These are people that don't talk for a living. They know how to talk. They've been doing it for, so it's maybe easier for them. But all voices are interesting in the group work that we do. And it weaves a pattern that is very nice for us.
And we've got someone else contributing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I would ask someone, like, we're all going to die some days, and if you were told you were going to die in a month, maybe what would you like to do the most to accomplish before you go? Something like that.
Very big, big question, you know. But it's happening all the time. The whole concept of death and dying is out there quite a bit now. It's out there. People are talking about it.
Oh, I didn't talk.
It's,
I should book here. Push that.
Okay. Good.
Ivan, were you going to?
Well, Muscle Spark says, talk about cooperatives where members offer their strengths for the success of the group.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's interesting that somebody, David, was it David or Pat? I can't even remember who asked Dan whether he got to express this at work, like on his work crew. It struck me that I had an experience once working at the bookstore, the secondhand bookstore, mm-hmm. where I wasn't intending, I wasn't doing anything deliberately, but there was a moment. I was working the cash register, and people were lined up. I'm writing up somebody's purchase, you know, a pile of books, and then one of our colleagues had somehow taken on. He was babysitting for his nephew or grandson or something like that, and he had a little kid in the store who he was trying to get to sit still. I think he was about three or four years old, and the kid would not sit still. So there was a moment in the store. All these people are lined up. He goes to help somebody in the back of the store. The kid goes running. The kid goes and pulls the fire alarm, you know, the fire thing on the wall, because it's just a little lever, you know, and the kid's fooling around. He goes, and like the fire alarm goes off, and then, you know, I've got these people buying books, and then the fire department calls up and they say, you know, okay, your fire alarm just went off. Can you give us the code word? And then I'm going like, the code word. To tell them that, like, we shut off the fire alarm, but they want to know for sure that it's not a real fire, and all this is going. And so this, it was like, you know, basically there was about 5 or 10 minutes of utter chaos all around the cash register. And then, so after this all got settled down, and this older guy who was supposed to be supervising the kid, you know, got him to sit down, and we gave the right code word to the fire department and all this. And then somebody else who was in the store said, she made this comment to me, maybe it was like 15, 20 minutes later, she said, geez, Ivan, that was kind of amazing. Like, you didn't panic or you didn't freak out or something. How did you handle all that? Like the people online and, you know, these impatient customers and the kid running around and the fire department and the call that came in. But I said, well, you know, I guess I just kind of kept calm, kept a level head or something. Then, you know, and it's funny that it's not something that I wasn't observing myself to the extent to know that I was doing that, but I actually got that feedback from somebody in the space who was watching me, you know, that I evidently, it alerted me that I was communicating something by just following the Hitchhiker's Guide
Yep.
motto, which is don't panic. And it's, people are surprised if you can actually not panic. that was interesting.
And you could type in the exercise we're working with?
We're working on page 139 in chapter 55, where EJ talks about expressing the work in a practical manner. So I just said, if you were to run across a newbie that you thought was interested in the work, what practical exercise would you give them? And you're welcome to share. I think it's a wonderful challenge. We've heard a number of good examples so far. And should we just...
I'm interested in knowing if people have done this, and like what Ivan just shared, what the response from the universe was, and if you would necessarily or not assign it to your inner self practices. Because I think one of the first things I heard EJ speak about when I was early on, the topic of conversation was formulated slightly differently than Secret Talks volumes are now. The conversation was psyche and essence.
Right.
And the description that was given was, under conditions of war, it is frequently common for essence to show up, to be present, because psyche can't hang around in that condition. So that was my early picture of a potential understanding of why there are moments of, you know, awakeness and how do they happen or not happen, you know, all of those early questions you have. And the description that he's saying, knowing how to work must be practical, in my opinion, has to do with the fact that you know that you're going to die someday. You know you're going to be in a situation where you're going to want to panic. What is the work to do with your practical experience under those conditions? And it says, real ideas must be present in all our transmissions, not just the ones that are labeled conversation on the topic of work on self.
Read that again.
Real ideas must be present in all our transmissions.
So in the Bible,
yep,
and in Eastern Orthodox Church, there's the, do you know where I'm going with this, Harry?
I do not, David.
The monks practice a prayer called the Prayer of the Heart.
Prayer of Jesus
prayer. And in the, probably the most popular literature about it is this one, The Way of the Pilgrim, and the pilgrim continues his way. And this old guy, you know, he goes out to become a mendicant, a monk. He's going to, and he gets stuck on this thing in the Bible that says, pray always. And he says to all these people, that's impossible. How can you pray always? If you're in a crisis, how could you be praying? If you're in your court setting and the judge is at, how could you be praying? It's impossible. And in that novel, in that work, he does find a way to pray always. So this sentence that you just read is reminiscent of that. Everything you say, all your transmissions should carry that. So do they carry that when you're in the midst of working with other people, like Grant has a technical work that he does.
He has a practice.
is a technical practice of profession that he does, is he, can he pray always? I practice that constantly, and I have a very technical job. And I approach it very, I know it's totally different than most people in the same profession I have, because people tell me that. you say, I've never seen, you say, do I get feedback? I get feedback all the time.
Yes.
And people say, I've never seen a CPA like you. Of course they haven't, because they've never had a CPA who 30 years ago left the world and still maintains the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I always start off, you know, like, I had one today, a brand new business, and the person was saying, well, I can do this, 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 and I stopped everything. I said, what would you like to do? What is your passion? What do you love about what you do? And it just shifted, the whole conversation just flipped up. They looked internally for a second.
Because there was an opening made.
Okay.
Hey, Dan.
Go ahead, Dan.
So Grant says the draining exercise to start, a simple relaxation. Grocky says I would recommend the popcorn exercise to a newbie.
Very nice. Very nice.
He adds, I said it here before, The Way of the Pilgrim was one of John Kennedy's favorite books. And Laura 34 has just signed in, and I told her about the exercise, and she's looking to see the question.
Thank you.
Way of the Warrior, Ivan, who?
Dan Millman?
No.
Robert
Giroir.
Warriors.
What was the book he wrote? Self-Completion. In the appendix to Self-Completion, he refers to the Eastern Orthodox practice that we're talking about, Philokalia and this Way of the Pilgrim.
You know, the first time I heard about that, I was living in Victoria, British Columbia, and I had just gotten my own apartment. And I don't know where I came across that, the actual prayer. And I decided I was going to do it. And I walked right into a street sign and knocked myself.
That's called the beginning level of the prayer.
Yes. I wasn't observing anything. I was just going to do it. Never mind the form on the body and walking around on the planet.
That sounds like the invocation of absence to me.
Yeah, that was a strong start.
So I guess what I'm saying is, and the reason that I was interested in this chapter is that we are ambassadors of the work.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not the teacher. I mean, see, that's like such a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're ambassadors. Like, we're not the president. We're ambassadors representing, like, the country. Like, there was a whole thing on ambassadors today.
Yeah.
And so we're going out into the world, into foreign lands. And remember that when you're there. And the skilled ambassadors of these other countries are skilled. They have knowledge base about where they're going. They don't interrupt it. They join into it.
Oh, yes. You must say a little bit more about that. That's kind of critical.
So our job is not to disrupt what is there and change the situation, but to enter into it and, in a sense, mimic it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that mimicry, we have a chance to share something unusual.
So we are a participant.
We begin as a participant. I'm a bloody CPA. I mean, like, how weird is that? It's like people come to my office and they do this and da 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 da, and every single time there's a little moment that it happens. Every time. Okay?
That's a good sign of something that you're doing.
It's a good sign that I can bill them for that. This is such a good sign. I get paid.
Well, the thing about the ambassadors, David, it makes me think that you're, what do you call this, an analogy or as a metaphor, analogy is like cross-cultural communication. So it's like saying you're coming in, it's like an alien, a slightly alien culture that you're coming into. You're certainly coming from black sheep, you know, from an alien culture, which is like the black sheep culture. And so it's a kind of cross-cultural communication.
But we're not forcing it on others.
No, you're cultivating this.
Going into that land.
Yeah.
See, is there fertile ground there for me? And there might not be.
And you know, I'd like to just say in Beelzebub's tales, it's referred to as a representative of the Creator. So having gotten closer to the Creator ourselves, we try to share some kind of an approach to a newbie to ourselves.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, like you're vibrating in the frequency, and therefore you can be, you know, you can do some transmittal because you've got the strong vibration that you are already receiving yourself. That's
right.
That's nice and clean. Thank you, Silverdale. That's very clean. Good.
Yeah, could I say something to that? That's interesting that I think that it's also possible to think about this as being like when he's using this language of being practical, knowing how to work must be practical. I mean, I think there's a way to think about it almost as, let's say, technically or as a hands-on sort of process, because I can remember that the something that I learned that I don't think I necessarily knew, you know, before I first came to the Institute or came and did any residency or any training here was that you're once you reach a plateau, anything that you've worked on, any exercise or any activity, let's say any assignment that I've been given, you know, that I've gone through, if I've plateaued on that, I've reached a certain point and I've been given another exercise or gone on to another exercise, I am competent to pass on that earlier exercise to somebody. This was especially true in this Wood Shillow training that EJ did in the 70s in Los Angeles. It was like I was a trainee, but then once I got the first belt, then I became a trainer. I couldn't train above my competence, above what I had been given, but whatever I had been given, I could then train somebody who was a novice with what I had been given. And I think that if you just think about it in that sense, you know, if I've worked at the 2-minute exercise looking at a clock hand, mm-hmm. and I know what result I had with myself, I can, you know, I can without anxiety or without even feeling nervous, I can introduce that. Yeah, I can introduce that to a complete novice. And I mean, this is like, I don't know how many people, how many of you in this circle have had this experience, but everybody who was like in a study circle or, you know, part of a group of any kind, and then you got stuck. I got stuck in Tucson. Oh, now there is no study circle leader. So,
Ivan. Yeah. Hey, Ivan, study group leader.
Well, yeah, when it devolved that if there was going to be a study group, I had to place ads and I had to be the leader and so on. So then there's this anxiety that you have. It's like, well, what am I going to tell people? Like, what do I have to tell them? And, you know, it turned out that once I had spent some time, any time at all around EJ or any time at the Institute, or I had just even spent time in grade doing the Big 24, you know, doing the practical work on self-exercises, then this is very tangible. Like, oh, I can present this to people. And, yeah, and that's what I did.
Then I've got to come.
Let's see. Grocky says, in self-completion, EJ says in the intro or somewhere, that self-completion is required reading for his students.
Yep.
He says, one of my favorite EJ quotes is, The ashram is not a place to visit, but a way of life. Seems to be a statement about what you all are talking about, taking the teaching with us, whether overtly spoken or not. And Lara 34, her response to the question was, mentation, I am, but I forget just what. Grachi says, also seems like the invocation of presence practice might be good to share with newbies.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I agree. So I want to make a comment about on something as I'm listening to Pat, Ivan, Grachi, DePaltz, Harry, Silverdale, the individuals that have shared, or not shared, Michelle, the ones that, even the ones that have, there's something about these, and I'm putting it in triple quotes, these teachers, these ambassadors, the element that is so different for me from many other groups that I've been with, and I've looked at many groups, is a certain sense of true humility. It's almost like that gives you the forum in which to share. It's because you know how much you don't know. And if you carry that with you, you know how much you don't know, there's a sense of humility if you're sharing, I know I don't know this, but here's what I know. And if you stand on the forum of being able, Ivan used to say, you know, being the idiot that, you know, and we studied that a few months ago, but being the idiot that is willing to just read the bloody book in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
There is a test, and everybody understands the test. They don't all understand that they have the right to continually take the test fail as many times as occurs.
Nice.
And it has occurred for me in the last several months, maybe the last year or so. I am engaging strangers in conversation now all the time.
Yep.
I make it a point. What did I do with the lady the other day with you, right? Professional person. And it's not that I feel like I don't have a thing about it. It's just out there now available, and I'm not saying no. Doesn't mean that it wasn't there before. I don't know if it was or it wasn't. I wasn't engaged in that. But it is something that is at some point, like the way you have described how you run your internal practice and your external practice, mm-hmm. so that they do that figure eight thing. They
Absolutely.
Weave back and forth. It's a Mobius strip. It's folding in and over on itself and recrossing back and forth. You do not lose the strand of your internal self-observation as you make a suggestion or a comment or a smile or a whatever into the space, which allows another being to be present if they should so choose.
And that's because the customer is always right.
Did that last week? Or 2 weeks
ago? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Customer's always
there. Yeah, she's going to talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Just when EJ goes out sometimes and he just talks with people, he always have something in his pocket, a little gift or something he can easily give, or he say a nice sentence to make them feel good, but you always focus on make them feel good or friendly, and have something that they get surprised or very, very touched by it. So yes, those little gifts he carries and gives them away. It's really nice.
Whatever the methodology is of EJ's teaching, which I don't know how to encompass that, but he's created individuals that are steeped in this humility that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of the manner in which he teaches, I don't know what it is, but everybody is like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a friendship in that kind of voyager humility that we...
That is a quality, a characteristic of a member of this particular group, larger group, study group of a larger
mm-hmm.
body, which holds through time. Now, our friends Ken and Tony, first group, so pre-secret talks, were here to visit a week ago, for a week.
Lynn.
With Lynn. And their ongoing personal habit of work, observation, and courtesy. I'm just so struck sometimes
mm-hmm.
by how they are walking courteous emblems. You know, it's like they are always putting you at your ease in, you know, whatever circumstance. But those are qualities that have a continuity through time, but also through recognition with each other. That's one of those
nice.
Little crystals that kind of link us all together. Harry person there and I had this conversation a couple years ago when he was here. That was one of our conversations. Do you remember that, Harry? When we were coming out of the store down the street in Grass Valley.
Yes. It was a delightful walk.
Yeah, the walk.
Doc says, just coming back in, not sure what is meant by exercise, but it would be something like, what is it you want to accomplish before you die, or when going to sleep for the night, consider what it would be like not to wake up. Do this for 1 week.
Nice.
I actually just wanted to comment that this, all what you're describing, that sounds to me like hospitality, like part of the
mm-hmm.
law or the practice of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
The law of hospitality has to do with actually recognizing the other individual, and that is absolutely critical when I'm with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to the person, and it's clear to them that I'm doing that. They respond in a particular way,
mm-hmm.
and it's very, very interesting. So it's, and that's what I think EJ does. I've been, you know, many times with him, and he's fun to do that. We should all do that. I do that whenever anything, any market, any place I go.
Yeah,
we can do that if we actually pay attention
mm-hmm.
to the other person. You're giving them a gift through your attention. We have the ability to do that, and we are expand the work. We're taking the gift of that as ambassadors, and we go around and we share with others. We don't have to be afraid, and I think that's when the big thing is that most people are afraid most of the time. They're just afraid. Most of the time, they don't know why. They're just afraid. And so for a moment, just by recognizing them as a human being, as a fellow human being, for a moment, they don't have to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They can just be there with you. And there's a sense of that presence that you can, they can be in that for just a minute. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's the most practical of practical description, which is that you are being present in the moment with another with no agenda.
No agenda. You're just with that person. What a gift.
Grant, at one point, designed a beautiful description of the, what was it, Grant, like 10 seconds of presence as a tool for medical professionals to use.
Wow.
Yes. I remember this. He actually wrote it up and presented it several places. And it's like, you know, when you walk into the office and your client is there, you spend at least, you know, 10 seconds or 50. I can't remember what it was. But Is he saying?
Rocky says that by itself, just paying attention to others and really listening to them, speaks volumes and seems to be half the healing anyone needs.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well,
very, very nice. Good. I had notes on chapter 57,
yeah,
58,
yeah,
and 59.
Yeah.
We only made 2 pages tonight, Pat.
What I'm reminded of is at the school I was at before, the teacher told us a story of something that happened when he was attending the school, which was the School of Practical Philosophy in New York. One of his fellow students was a doctor, a surgeon, and this man told a story at one point that he was in surgery in the operating room in the middle of an operation with a patient cut open, and all of a sudden he woke up because prior to that he had been thinking about that this was such a difficult operation that success would really be a boost for his career. And when he woke up and realized that he had been focusing on that instead of the operation, he looked over and he saw that the anesthetist was flirting with the nurse, and the other nurse was doing something, but nobody was paying attention. And so he was now present. He brought everybody else's attention back to the operation and proceeded. So
the surgeon at that moment said, now.
Mm-hmm. It was somebody's life in his hands.
Sure.
Yeah. I wish this now, this to be used. That's what the surgeon did, and he garnered the whole room with him. If he sacrificed his lower self at that moment, which is my career, for the higher, and when he got to the higher, then he could see the patient.
Yep.
Okay? Wasn't the other way around. He got himself to the higher, and then he saw that patient. And we can do that every time we get together, and particularly when we get together with each other. We can get into our higher self and live the high life. This is the high life.
I'm going to repeat from the third paragraph. Work ideas are mathematically connected, a sum, a totality. They must be taken as a whole. Ideas are not raw data, but synthesis, depending on the weight of previous data. Now, we have shared some weight together tonight. So we do have something that is a synthesis right here with all of us right now.
Well, I've noticed that before that work ideas they almost act like a scaffold or a framework, but it's your own experience that fills in what's missing until that idea is actually understood. Grocki says, there is a wonderful book by Taylor Caldwell, a famous woman author from a while back, called The Listener, that very powerfully gets across how soul nurturing just being listened to is worth the read.
Thank you.
So we'll see if we can make another 2 pages next week.
I will not be with
you. It's 7:00 Wednesday night, and we'll be short with our critical members.
I'll be with you in the spirit.
Thank you for coming. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you all. Good night, everyone.
Thank
good
you.
Thanks
good
for
night.
Hosting us.
Okay, final word here from Grant. Yes, 10 seconds of simple presence, that's a lot. Claude put an app on the hospice website page, and it's fun to talk about with people at a fair or whatever.
Great.
It makes it real unpretentious.
Very good. Simple, simple, simple.
It's really cool.
Good night.